And our last story for today is by Margaret Barrington and is entitled The End of a Hero. Michael John O'Friel was a hero. Nobody would be so bold as to deny it. At all times and in all places, the rights and privileges due to a hero were granted him, whether it was when he was leaning up against the bar counter in Flanagan's pub, punishing a pint, or entertaining the more classy crowd that frequented Hennessy's.
I'm Terry Lambert. I'm Ray's daughter. I live in England. The picture is of the log cabin on Menaker Road that they built. They started building in 1956. We lived in it without water or electricity for the first year, and it got better and better over the years. And they lived there 50-odd years.
There was nothing of the humbug about Michael John, I can tell you. He'd been in and out of every jail in Ireland, had fought all through the Troubles, had never taken an oath nor signed a paper. True, he'd never risen to any rank, and that was maybe why he'd been able to preserve his honor unsullied. A gap in his front teeth showed to all that he was no boaster. An irritated warden, blind to all else but Michael John's face, had left his mark on it. There was something fierce about that gap. When Michael John drew back his lips, preparatory to raising his frothing pint, the timid shivered and the brave admired.
Coming from New York City and having lived in California, once they moved to Haines, they decided this is where they wanted to be. They liked the people. They liked the way outside of things, and they decided they were going to be here forever.
Young fella, he hissed through the gap, would I be the one to wear false teeth like any old woman? Young fella, look at this. He raised an enormous forefinger. This is me badge of courage, the sign of me martyrdom. If you had a scrap of manhood in your miserable body, do you know what you'd do? You'd go and blow out your own teeth, every one of 'em. So you would. You'd never knock a man's teeth down his throat. Nah, you'd pull 'em out and then hand him a glass of water as nice as you please.
I was never allowed to say, there's nothing to do, I'm bored. He would take me by the hand and would show me the books that were around the shelves in the house and say, have you read this one yet? And we would discuss literature and politics. Rarely, but there was always something to do, always something interesting. You'd ask him a question to do with homework or something. He would disappear for an hour or two with the Britannica Encyclopedia and come back and say, now, I've just read some very interesting things. And he hadn't even answered our question, but he'd been studying other things all the time. So he was always, and he always had an inquiring mind.
Kitty, he'd shout, where'd you put me, Chester? Kitty! Kitty, did you put me black stud anywhere? And Kitty, who was at all times as meek as the Pascal lamb, would get snappy and irritable. I haven't as much laid me eye on your back stud. Your Chester's in the drawer, same as always, and for mercy's sake, Michael John, can't you be a bit tidy? Look at the place.
Whenever he was in England, he was thinking about what was going on in Haines and always wanted to be here. But he did have to enjoy his travelling as well, so he was off and away, but glad to get back.
I'll bow out at this point, and let's let the music take over and tell you that I'll be back again next Saturday with more tales and tunes. And I hope you have a pleasant week and are going to be telling people lots of stories.